This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to your home for everything deep, down, and dirty WWE, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. We are a week and a half away from the party in the borough. SummerSlam coming up a week from Sunday from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for the second year in a row and the second of what will be 3 years in a row. It is already on the docket for 2017. But a lot to talk about. We still have build left to do. We have 1 week of shows left. We have a Raw left and a SmackDown left before we go to Brooklyn. And in a week of NXT left. So the card's filling out nicely. And we'll talk about that tonight. And then I want to talk about a specific topic involving a big match at SummerSlam and a character or one of the guys at SummerSlam because I'm in the mood to usually stir the shit, and I usually like to, you know, delve into the minds of wrestling fans and see if I can drive them crazy. And we're going to do that tonight. But I can't do it alone. I have two superb guests, both Main Event veterans, one a little more veteran than the other, but equally outstanding. First off, his second appearance on Main Event. It is also a birthday gift because his birthday was yesterday. He is the host of two exceptional podcasts on the PWO-PTBN network. Of course, I want to see if my other guest thinks I could do this well because he chuckled last time.
Exile on Bad Street.
I'm trying. Not quite. I gotta get the giggle in. I love you, Parv. Of course, Exile on Bad Street and one of my favorite podcasts in this whole world, Between the Sheets, Mr. Chris Zellner. What's up, KZ? Welcome back.
Thanks, Scott, for the great intro. Glad to be back. And yes, I am one day past. It's also today is my southern friend, Georgia friend, Chad Campbell's birthday today. So our birthdays are one day apart.
It is. I can't believe that. Is that what it is in Georgia? You all have birthdays in the month of August. I'm going to see who else.
I have my brother's birthday is in a few days. My mother's birthday is at the end of the month. There are a ton of birthdays in August. I guess the reason for that is that most of it, if you're born in August, more often than not, you're conceived in December. So when it gets cold, hey, there's not a whole lot you could do.
I thought there was, yeah, well, that. Plus, I thought there was, like, celebrations for Georgia winning the national championship or, you know. is Jim Barnett's birthday?
I was a little over a year old when that happened. So
that is true. When one of my favorite guys, Herschel Walker. Maybe it's Jim Barnett's birthday this month. Who knows as well. Anyway, Casey, it was a pleasure. Speaking of Chad Campbell, here he is. No, I'm just kidding. No, he was on the last time you were on. We now go up to Detroit. You're of course booked for Jim Barnett. This guy books for the Sheik in his neck of the woods. Of course, if you listen to this guy's podcast, you would stick a pencil in your eye. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jordan Duncan.
Thanks for that thrilling introduction there, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
Your birthday.
I thought you were going to introduce me as Chad for a second.
I was going to do. Is your birthday gift John Akiyama? JD, always a pleasure, man.
Thanks. I like how you say, like Chris said, when it gets cold in Georgia, there's not much else to do. That's 11 months out of the year here in Michigan, man. There's never anything to do.
Yes,
here.
And what you do is you fall asleep on Andrew Reich's hammock. All right. Of course, JD hosts Rank and File. Which is an exceptional podcast. I was on once. I will be on again soon because I have a great topic. Great topic.
Okay.
Top 10 toughest punch-out opponents other than Mike Tyson.
Oh, gosh.
And I will go an hour on Bald Bull.
I don't know. Super Macho Man is pretty
tough. But the second Bald Bull, was a bitch, let me tell you.
Yeah, he was.
Second ball bull. He was like punching steak. He was tough.
We just did a video game show with Brad.
I heard it was tremendous. I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
I enjoyed it.
It
very much. But I think we got to break that down, because if anybody thinks that the toughest guy is Glass Joe, then you should probably have your video game privileges stripped.
Right. You shouldn't be playing video games.
No, you shouldn't be. JD.
That Tyson's Punch Out won't be on that Nintendo deal they're coming out with in November, where all the games are on that.
Yeah, the built in and that little handheld.
Yeah, they just got the old regular Punch Out, not Mike Tyson's Punch Out. That's the same.
Mr. Green.
Mr. Green. Yeah.
Loved Mike Tyson's Punch Out. It took me. Let's see. Was I a sophomore? No, I was a junior in high school. So this was like March of 1990. I will never forget it, because I was in my buddy's basement. A bunch of us were hanging out. It was a Friday night. We were shooting pool. We had the NCAA tournament on, I think. And he had a Nintendo 8-bit, and we were playing. I was playing Punch Out till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was destined to beat Tyson. I was like the best guy at that game with our crew. But that second bald bull took me like a month and a half to beat. Tyson only took me like a week.
I was in fifth grade in 1989, and that's when I first time I beat Tyson. I remember that, and yeah, he was easier than bald bull. Yeah. I mean, that second ball bull was a beast.
Yeah.
Well, because you could only get the knockdowns by blocking the charge.
Yeah. Tyson, you just had to time the uppercuts. If you could time
that first 90 seconds, you got a shot.
Right. If you can dodge the flurry, you'll be fine. But because once in the first 90 seconds, you get hit with one, it's over. You don't get up. But if you could dodge the first 90 seconds uppercuts, and you could just then you could battle him. But that ball bull, it literally, I don't think I beat him earlier than the third round. I mean, he was a pain in the ass. Him and Soda Popinski, he was pretty tough too. But the second ball bull was easily the toughest. But anyway, that's a rank and file suggestion.
Cool.
So we'll have to talk about that. Anyway, guys, pleasure. Great combination here. I kind of dig this. I kind of dig the ambiance in the room tonight. I'm kind of liking this. So we are a week and a half away from SummerSlam next Sunday in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. I'm going for the second year in a row. I'll also be in the building for NXT on Saturday night. We'll talk about NXT as well. And this Cruiserweight tournament, the Cruiserweight Classic, which actually I'm not watching right now. I don't mind knowing the results, but I actually want to watch it. I want to power watch the whole thing all in a row.
Oh, sure.
So I'm waiting. I'm not watching it either.
It just finished the first round last week.
And I'm watching as we talk.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
So is that live now? No. Is the second round live?
Well, they're playing it, you know, live right now. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
as we're doing it to Jiri and Grand Metalik.
Because I wondered how they were going to avoid spoilers, and I guess airing live is probably the best way to do that. Huh?
Yeah, I'm bummed because my pick in this tournament, and again, I don't even care about spoilers. If I know who wins, doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah, you picked Tommaso, huh?
No, I picked. Well, my two picks were Tommaso, who's already out, and Cedric Alexander. I love Cedric, but he's fighting Ibushi, right? And
yeah, tonight on the show tonight. Yeah,
yeah. He's probably going to lose, which sucks.
And my buddy Tim Evans, who goes to a lot of these Full Sail shows, said that Dakota and Alexander match is probably the best match ever to take place in Full Sail.
Oh wow!
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. But I love Cedric because I think I saw the greatest. I don't know if I told you. I know you know JD. Last year, Chris. Last January, 2015, we all went to the Rumble in Philly, and that night before was the Ring of Honor taping at the old ECW Arena, and I think one of the greatest live matches I ever watched in any promotion of my life was that night. It was a six-man tag. It was a TV taping. It wasn't pay-per-view, and it was Cedric Alexander, ACH, and Seidel against the Young Bucks and AJ, and it was utterly ridiculous. How amazing that match was!
It's probably just a wild sprint, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like 26 minutes though, so it was a sprint, but it was a crazy sprint.
Cedric slimmed down quite a bit. He got in real good shape for this.
He did. So I've been a Cedric junkie ever since. So that's why I kind of wanted him to win. But I have a feeling Ibushi's going to beat him. We'll see.
I think you're going to like Jack Gallagher when you watch it.
Okay, and I already love and no surprise, JD. I love Bobby Roode's music. I mean, Bobby Roode's theme is all me. So first of all,
have you seen the videos, the Glorious Bombs?
Yes. Oh, tremendous. That's absolutely tremendous. But I was a Bobby Roode guy. Yeah, I was a Bobby Roode guy in TNA. He was like the one, like one of the three TNA guys I actually liked. Him, Magnus. Boy, that was dumb. And who else did I always like? Storm, James Storm, obviously. So, which would have been great if he stayed, because I wouldn't have mind. I mean, look, I don't care about stealing gimmicks, so I wouldn't have minded an NXT version of Beer Money, because that would have been pretty sweet. All right. Chris, we are 3 weeks. I'll start with you. The brand split is now 3 weeks old. We've had three pairs of shows. Now, I'm a weirdo in this instance. I'll watch, even if it's dated, I'll watch the pre-show. I usually watch the show the next day on Hulu. I don't watch it live. So I'll watch the pre-show. I'm a completist. I'll watch the pre-show and I'll watch the show on Hulu. And then, like, for on Wednesdays, I'll also watch Talkin' Smack, which I actually like. I think that's a great concept. They don't do the post on Raw anymore, probably because it's too late. You're already getting 3 hours of Raw. What do you need a post show for?
Sure.
Chris, through the first 3 weeks, how do you think the split is gone?
Well, I think the first week, Raw was the clear winner. By the way, everything looked.
Sure.
Second week, it kind of evened itself out a little bit more. SmackDown kind of caught up. And this week, I think I wouldn't really judge a lot by this week's shows, because most of the crew was already in Australia, as far as like, not the wrestlers, but people that would have been backstage. Triple H and Stephanie, it was in Australia already. So they weren't even at the show, or weren't even at Raw, because that's theirs. And Vince Kevin Dunn are pretty much doing SmackDown. So I think if the way everything looked, it looked like Vince and Kevin Dunn were doing both shows this week, because Raw definitely had the Vince Kevin Dunn fingerprints all over in a lot of ways that it hadn't been on there the past couple of weeks with Triple H being in control of the show. So, and there was a more silliness, I think, this week than it has been the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the problems are coming home to roost. There was already talk going out yesterday that they're already upset about some of the roster moves they made, putting guys on shows. The big one is now they wish that they had put Kevin Owens on SmackDown. And there's actual talk that there may be something going on where they may move Owens to SmackDown and move Randy Orton to Raw as a trade down the line. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that'll happen after SummerSlam. I don't know what it'd be, but I mean, they're in a spot here where they got to figure stuff out. A SmackDown's big problem, other than not having the big heels. That's why they need Owens, because their tag team depth is horrible. I mean, if you watch SmackDown Tuesday night,
yeah,
I mean, America Alpha is the best team there by far, and then you had all these other teams come out like the Vaudevillains and Ascension and the Hype Brothers.
Ugh.
The Usos are there too. I mean, it's by far the problem. While Raw, you got Anderson and Gallows, you got Enzo and Cass, you got New Day. I mean, you got your top three teams in the promotion right there in one show.
Right.
They got to fix that problem. Raw just right now, like I said, I think that this week was an aberration. And they already promised the Cruiserweight division when the Cruiserweight class is over with. So that's going to give them an extra boost out of this world whenever that's done. And they're going to have a Cruiserweight champion on Raw. So Raw right now, I mean, it's just, you know, they got their guys positioned and it's going to be like that. And I think, you know, once September rolls around, when the Cruiserweights come on, then we'll be able to see the full picture of Raw. But SmackDown is clearly kind of a station as the B show. And I think it's amazing that Triple H actually got Vince to agree basically to be in charge of SmackDown instead of Raw, and using the narrative that, hey, SmackDown needs to be elevated to the show. So
right,
I mean, props to him. So it's interesting. SummerSlam's gonna tell a tale. As far as the Orton Lesnar match, which we'll talk about later, to see how that goes. And I know a lot of people have already been complaining about, oh, Daniel Bryan's been on Raw and We've already got Orton and Lesnar on each other's shows. Well, they kind of have to do that because you're building that stuff for SummerSlam. Once SummerSlam's over with, you won't have another dual pay-per-view until Survivor Series.
Right.
So
that's why it doesn't annoy me SummerSlam, either.
Was that?
It doesn't annoy me either. I agree with you.
Yeah, after SummerSlam, that's when we'll start getting the separate stuff, more than what we're getting now. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. I love the squash match return. I thought that was great. Yeah.
Yes.
That with Nia Jax.
Who the hell were those two bums that faced American Alpha? Good grief. What was that? Was that Rusty Brooks' kid?
I don't know who they were, and I usually know all these guys. But, they did a great job for Alpha this week of giving them squash guys. Braun Strowman has been taking care of guys every week. So,
They've done more for Braun in 3 weeks than, almost a year in the Wyatt family did.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And Corey Hollis, who was on there last week as the jobber in Atlanta, Evan Anderholm, used that shtick on the Indies. Now, talking about before the match that he was doing at the SCI, which I'll talk about later on the show when plug time. I went to over the weekend in Chattanooga. He was talking about how he was getting paid $1,000 for this match and $5,000 if he wins. And the fans pop for it. So
that's great.
I mean, if it's getting guys, exposure like that. That
a little bit of shine, yeah.
First guy that was in the show in Pittsburgh, the one that had the shitty tattoo and looked hilarious.
No chin?
Yeah, he was he's a guy, I think he works for – he's a member of the tag team called Beauty and the Beast, and he's Beauty, which is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
And he's getting more looks now. So, yeah, that's a great part of the show. They just need to get a consistency. I think that's the thing. It's early in the game. They just need to get some consistency.
It's funny that you talk about Strowman because, like I said, I've been watching Raw on Hulu the next day, which they cut down to an hour and a half, and they cut his squashes out. So I actually haven't seen any Braun Strowman.
Oh, part of the show.
I know. So
that's one of the highlights, man. You should track him down. They're fun.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they haven't broken down on the website.
Well, the best part is they give the jobbers like pre-match interviews.
Really?
They ask him, what are you doing here? And like what Chris was just saying, the one guy goes, why do you want to fight this guy? He goes, I get $1,000 for this match and $5,000 if I win. So that was his whole promo. It was great.
That's all Rusty Brooks wanted, man. He just wanted to win for the money. He just wanted the money. If you remember the epic jobber episode of TNT, he goes, I just want the money. Where he's got the pants on that are 8 sizes too small. Classic Rusty Brooks.
Everything's 8 sizes too small for old Rusty.
That's true, yes.
Big boy.
What about you, JD? 3 weeks in, what are your thoughts?
You can see some problems, but I'm willing to kind of overlook it for now because it is just 3 weeks in. You got to give them time. I think it's better to revisit maybe after each brand has had their own show, mm-hmm. their own pay-per-view to kind of see. I think the biggest thing that Chris touched on with SmackDown is all the tag teams are on Raw, and I think all the important women are on Raw, too, outside of really Becky. The SmackDown women's division is kind of like the NXT also-rans in a way. And
Eva Marie a cult hero.
Yeah, they are. Like, the whole thing with Eva Marie, she comes out for a match, and there's always a reason why she doesn't have it.
Yes, yep.
So I think the women's division it really suffers. I feel like the obvious thing that a lot of people said is, one show should have got the women's division, one show should have got the tag division. That's the easy fix. But, they already made their choices, so now they got to do something with it. I guess the obvious thing would be if Bayley comes up, you could stick her on SmackDown. But I don't know that is enough to fix it because, you gotta work with somebody. You can't just have Bayley versus Becky, every week.
Do we need another – let me ask you this, though, JD. And – if you've been watching Talking Smack, which I actually like, I think it's tremendous.
I've heard good things about it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about it.
Have you watched it yet, KZ? Have you watched the Talking Smack?
Great thing. Brian's stuff on that show has been fantastic. Like, he eggs on everybody to say shit that, they're paying. So I heard he's like a real good antagonist.
He really is. Like, he was breaking Miz's stones and It's pretty good. It's pretty good. The pre-shows are trash, though. Like, nothing against Scott Stanford. He's a pretty, he does his thing, but he's a glass of water. I mean, he's a donut. I mean, there's really nothing to it. And Lawler's a douche. he really is.
Lawler's bitter.
Yeah, he gives Lita shit. You could tell he hates doing this. Like, he feels like he got demoted.
Oh, yeah. He's bitter about that demotion. Bad.
Yeah, you could tell. I don't know I don't know if he'll last the year. I have a feeling he may just retire or quit. I don't see him lasting the year on this because he just doesn't fit anymore. So let me ask you this then, JD. Mm-hmm. Because obviously we've been hearing that Daniel Bryan, as Chris has mentioned on Talkin' Smack, has alluded to what to do with the tag team situation. Do we need belts again? Do we have to have 1,000 belts? Is it laziness to just invent another women's belt, bring back the freaking pink butterfly just to appease these other girls? Or should the SmackDown writers just work harder to put them over? You know what I mean? Like, what are your...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a belt solves the problem because I think the problem is there's not enough, you know? I mean, look at who is on the SmackDown roster on the women's side. There's Becky, there's Eva Marie, isn't going to have a match for a while, I think. Maybe their first show might be her first match. You got Natty. And who else do they have? Alexa Bliss.
Carmella.
You know, I mean, that's not a deep roster. I mean, so you put a title on there, and it's just going to be... It's going to be the same problem that a lot of people have had with the show, you know, before a brand split, where you're going to see the same people fighting the same people over and over and over again.
I end up on there when she comes back.
Yeah.
So John's on there. And Nikki Bella and Eva Marie seems like the natural feud to go with.
Mm-hmm. So hot.
I mean, I don't think you have to throw a title out there right away. No.
Okay.
I think it would be better to maybe wait for them to see if any of these feuds or any of these women, you know, click, and then do something with it, rather than just forcing a belt out there. And I think same for the tag division. I mean, you could put some belts on American Alpha, just have them kill people every week, but you know, or you could just not have them put belts on the guys, you know.
The way to do it would be have the other show, only, you know, they could face the champions at the joint pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Survivor Series, you can have, you know, the titles would be, you know, showing this show.
Right.
That'd be the way to do those matches.
So like a SmackDown tag gets to face New Day or whoever. A Raw guy gets to face Miz. Yeah. And your brand's at stake of losing their belt.
I think the secondary singles titles is a different story because each show has one.
That's
but
true.
Tag team and women, I think definitely it could do that.
Yeah.
And maybe even cruiserweight. I mean, you know, you got Kalisto on SmackDown. There's some guys that could probably fit in that role if necessary. Mm-hmm. But for the women and tag teams, yeah, I would definitely do that. Like I said, U.S. title on Raw and Intercontinental title on SmackDown is a good big singles belt. So, yeah, you wouldn't need to do that, but... Yeah, I mean, that's where I would go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea, KZ. I think it'd be good if, like, for the secondary shows, why not give the other brand a shot at a belt that the other brand doesn't? The problem is all the extra belts are on Raw. That's the problem. They didn't split them up good enough. They should have put at least one of the two belts on the other show. The problem is the tag champions and the women's champion were both incredibly high profile and really needed to be on Raw.
Yeah.
I have a feeling the tag belts are gonna move over. I think you're gonna see something where I think the New Day's losing next Sunday.
I think
Gallows and Anderson are gonna win. And I think the New Day will stay together though. I don't think that they'll break up. We have too many guys. We don't need them to break up. There's no need for them to be split up. We have enough guys. We don't need any more singles guys. And I think that they'll do something where in November, all right, SmackDown, you got a shot here. There's going to be a women's battle royal or a four-way or something, and the winner gets to face Sasha Banks at Survivor Series for the women's championship. And if you win that belt, you go to Raw, and she goes to SmackDown. Kind of like what they did when I've been listening back to some of our older vintage vaults that JR and I did. And in 2002, that's what they did. Like when Triple H was the undisputed champion, he lost to Hogan. So Triple H went to SmackDown because that's where Hogan was. And then when Hogan lost to The Undertaker at Judgment Day, Hogan went to SmackDown, like that kind of thing. So what they could do is, all right, we're going to have a match, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, Natalya, all the women, in one big match, five-way, whatever, battle royal, tournament, whatever you want to do, gauntlet, and you get a shot at Sasha at Survivor Series. So maybe the big four shows, you get a rare crossover opportunity for the belts that aren't on the other show. Now, obviously, at the moment, that really only means SmackDown going to Raw because Raw has the extra belts. So we'll see what happens. That's what I think they could do.
I just say the belt needs to go. The performer don't need to go. Let's say Sasha loses to Eva Marie. Just throwing an example. Eva Marie beats Sasha. Then Sasha stays on Raw, but the belt goes SmackDown.
Yeah.
In that instance, you might be okay. In fact, honestly, I think because both those divisions are so good. Now, don't forget. All right, let me ask you this, JD. Do you think we will get a cruiserweight belt?
Oh, yeah. Already been out there. Picture of it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Really?
I was going to say, yeah, I think eventually, but I don't know when.
Oh, really? Is it the old belt, or are they making a new one?
It looks like a new version of the old one.
Okay. See, I like the old cruiserweight belt. Actually, I used to like the light heavyweight belt because I like the red leather. You know me, I'm old school, KZ. I liked Arn Anderson's red TV title belt because that belt was sweet. But I like different colored leather. But so if they get the cruiser belt, they're not going to have like five belts on Raw. So I have a feeling that at some point before the end of the year, either the women's or the tag, I have a feeling it'll be the tag, will go to SmackDown. And then you'll get some kind of balance.
And it makes more sense because – let's say Guns and Gallows win SummerSlam, then they'll lose to Alpha
in
Survivor Series, and I give Alpha the belts.
Yep, and then you'll get more tag, and I think those tag teams will. Because I'm like, I actually chuckled when I watched SmackDown today when I saw them walk down. I'm like, KZ, you can ask Jordan. I was the biggest Ascension fan on NXT.
Yeah, you were, man.
And boy, did they make me look like shit. and I'm like, oh, these fucking guys again. And then, of course, the Hype Brothers, and I love Zack Ryder, but I just want to punch Mojo Rawley in the face. But
yeah, by then, though, I think they'll have new teams and maybe some makeshift teams. By
exactly.
That.
Sure.
So I definitely think that I have a feeling it'll be the tag that will move over to SmackDown, and I think Raw will keep the women, because I don't see Sasha losing for a while. She's obviously, with Dana Brooke not at ringside next Sunday, she's going to beat Charlotte again. So I think Sasha is going to keep the belt for a while. Now, here's an interesting thing. Since we've been talking about shows and brands and stuff, this is a little insider info. We have to keep it between the three of us and the 1,000 and the 1,500 clicks the show gets. No. This is insider info. Not really, though. It's not uncommon knowledge. Obviously, from what I've heard, the goal is, other than the big 4 months, so not in January, not in March/April. I've heard that they want to try and keep WrestleMania in April. And then August and November. The other months of the year, they want two shows a month. Two pay-per-views a month. Two pay-per-views / network specials a month.
Yeah, makes sense.
So they want each brand to have 4-week pay-per-view cycles. And they're even specific, like they want SmackDown will have the second week of the second Sunday of the month. I heard this from a few people. SmackDown will have the second SmackDown Live. They'll get rid of the live soon. SmackDown Live will have the second Sunday of the month, and Raw will have the fourth Sunday of the month, and they will be 4-week cycles. And then, of course, the 4 months of the big shows. And I've heard that from unsubstantiated sources that starting with, well, we already know SummerSlam will be. But the big four will all be 4 hours. So the Rumble and Survivor Series will join SummerSlam and WrestleMania as 4-hour shows. They'll all start, all four of those will start at 7. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that because they should be special. They should be bigger. They're the big four. Now, WrestleMania is easy.
I think WrestleMania was about 9 hours this past
year. I know, it's funny. But some years it's fine. Like, I thought last year at Levi was fine. This year it felt like it was about 30 hours. I was at SummerSlam Live last year. The show did not feel long. And I have a feeling it won't feel long this year. Now, let's do a little forecasting. before we get into the cards and stuff, because this conversation is great. KZ, if you were booking, if you were the sheets, what would you do for a 4-hour Rumble? And then JD, I'll ask for your opinion as well. If you were booking the Rumble, how would you fill 4 hours? Would you do a 40-man? Would you alternate years where each brand gets the full Rumble? Would you do two Rumbles? 20-man, no. 20-man for each. If you had to book a 4-hour Rumble, how would you do it? If you had to fill four.
Definitely do a 40-man. And with the full, 2-minute intervals.
So really stretch it out, right.
Yeah, so that gives you, 80 minutes of guys coming in and out.
Yep.
So I would definitely do a 40-man Rumble. No repeats. If you've already worked the card, you're not in the Rumble.
Okay.
And I would,
guys, I don't think you need to be honest with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I would have maybe one or two NXT spotlight matches.
Okay.
Something like that to get some NXT people in the Rumble as well. And of course, have all your title matches on the show. So basically, that's about it.
Now, I wonder what I didn't hear is I don't know if every weekend is going to have a takeover the night before. We obviously know that Mania does on Friday, and we know that SummerSlam does the night before. I don't know if Rumble I didn't hear through the scuttlebutt if the Rumble weekend and the Survivor Series weekend will have an NXT the night before. They probably will. Maybe. I would. Last year, I heard this from my friend who knows people at Barclays and some of the other guys for WWE. They made $1 million or $1.5 million, I think it was. On the 3 days last year on NXT Saturday. NXT Saturday, SummerSlam Sunday, Raw Monday. They made almost $1.5 million. Wow. That's crazy. That's tickets, merchandise. They were nuts. So the only way they would leave Brooklyn is if WrestleMania was East Coast and they bounced it back to L.A. for a year. Because it's right as of now, it's only slated to go to stay in Brooklyn through next year, 2017. So, which means 2018, there are strong rumors that WrestleMania, what fucking number would it be by then? 34 is in Philly. If that's the case, then they may ship SummerSlam out to Staples again. Because you don't want it. They try to be fair. What would you do, JD? So let me ask you this. So KZ, would you have 40 guys in the Rumble and then whoever wins gets the title shot from his show? Or are you going to do like Benoit 04 and he picks? We really make it specific here on Main Event.
pick the show.
Okay. That would be sweet. I like that.
And then your other the number one challenger gets determined by whatever they want to do. Whether it's
a tournament,
bring back elimination,
the other show, yeah.
Yep. Good point. Excellent point. Okay, what would you do, JD?
Yeah, I think the 40-man is probably the best idea because they've got enough people to do. I don't think you would do one Rumble for each brand. I think that would make it look a little too thin.
Okay.
I think maybe an NXT match is a good idea too as well. And I even think you could do a thing where, you have the Rumble winner. Rather than, say, tune in and find out, you have a sort of like a sports presentation. Have him announce then and there who he's going to face. Finish the show with him making his choice and bringing out the champion that he chooses. Kind of have your little stare down and things like that. That could just add, an extra 10-15 minutes to the end of the show. I don't think I would do interpromotional matches, though, because you already have the Rumble, and that's kind of going to be what people are going to want to see at Mania. So I don't think you give that away 2 months before.
No, you do brand specific show. You
right,
do
that sets up your shows. Yeah, that sets up your interpromotional stuff with the Rumble. I mean, that's right. An easy way to set up Raw vs. SmackDown guys.
Right.
So I think you just you put every title on the line. You make sure every match is every belt is defended. And you just don't short anybody. I know that sometimes they want to go super short on a match. For whatever reason, and I think if it's a title match, then it gets the length of time that it needs.
Right.
So pretty simple, to be honest. I mean, I don't think it's hard with the way the company is right now. I don't think it's hard to book a 4-hour show, especially if you got the Rumble as one of your matches.
Yeah. And as much as it sounds on paper difficult, you can easily do a 4-hour Survivor Series if you really if you really earn your paycheck and actually book.
Bring back the Survivor Series matches.
Yeah, yeah, those are, make them interpromotional. 40 minutes each. I mean,
yeah, and make them interpromotional. You know, do the. I mean, how about the tags? Like old school, like 88. You know, do four tags on one side, four tags on the other. I'll you have guys all over the ring. That'd be awesome.
Tell you what they could do that'd be kind of neat is keep it to the same promotion, you know, like SmackDown versus SmackDown stuff, but then bring back the 1990.
Oh, the Survivor match.
Yeah, so the SmackDown winners versus the Raw winners is the main event, you know, so it could be 5-on-2, could be 4-on-4. Who knows, you know?
That would be kind of cool. I like.
And I would have the main event be captained by a major champion.
Yeah. So
whoever the major singles champion would be the captain of those teams.
Yep.
See, that's
no matter if they're faces, two faces, two whatever, they're right. captaining their team.
See, yeah. I like that idea, KZ, because I think if you really want to bring back the essence of Survivor Series, I think you should have no title matches. I think make the champions the captains.
That's it. Yeah, it's an easy show to not have one on.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So I look forward to that. But apparently, otherwise, the other months of the year, they want two shows a month. One for each color, a red show, a blue show, and then they work in four-week cycles. Can they pull that off? Yeah. Well, they get paid, yeah. So do it.
Yeah. You know? Hey, they're bringing back the name Clash of the Champions, so that's a win. That's
yes, cool. That'll be yep. That'll be the Raw pay-per-view in
SmackDown.
Yeah, Shane called dibs on that one.
Oh, so they flip-flop. So Backlash is going to be the Raw show then.
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
I could have sworn it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Let me double check. I have it in front of me.
I know it's the further.
All right, let's see. So the next show, they already did the logo. I don't like the new logo. New logo sucks. I like the old one. let me see. Well, it says it's.
Oh, you know, Backlash might be SmackDown because the logo is blue and white.
According to Wikipedia, it says Backlash was announced as returning as a SmackDown exclusive event. And that will be on September 11th. Mm-hmm. And a little old NWA stomping grounds here, KZ. The Richmond Coliseum. God, when the last time they were there? Jesus. It sounds like a Clash of the Champions. It should be a Clash of the Champions because that's a old Clash haunt. I think they had a couple in.
Well, doing this now is something that, you know, the network has given them the freedom to do this compared to, you know, back in the day with the brand split where they had to deal with pay-per-view providers and splitting costs and stuff like that. Those brand splits, you know, if they didn't get good numbers, you know, if everything's on the network now, it's not about buy rates and stuff because you got your subscribers whether they subscribe for that show or not. So right. I think this is the time to do double shows every month, and nobody's going to get burned out because you watch which ones you want.
You know? Exactly. You may get brand junkies. And finally, I love the fact because I'm a mark for this kind of stuff. I like that you can actually buy. They never did this before, that you could actually buy like the show specific like shirts and stuff.
Hmm.
They still have the draft shirts, which is the red shirt and the blue shirt of the old logos, which they should make cheap now. And now you can get like a Raw shirt or RAM, as they call it, because it looks like an M upside down. And SmackDown Live, you can get actually the shirts. I'm looking at I'm looking quickly because I want to see.
You know, one thing I think that they ought to do that would be a little bit of extra work, but I think it'd just be make things more compelling is. With this draft, they should have had signings for each guy and announced their contracts and announced the length of their contract, so to speak. So you could run angles where a guy's contract is up in three weeks, but he's still got a belt, you know, and he holds him up for money and things like that. I think that'd just be an interesting thing that they never really capitalized on in the first brand split, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it this time either. But
right.
It's just an easy way to make a simple storyline, especially with a title holder. You know, you got Miz with the IC belt. And even Daniel Bryan said, he basically said, I don't know if it was on the show or talking smack, where he basically said, I didn't really draft you. I drafted the Intercontinental belt.
He said it last night. No, he said it last night. That's exactly what he
know,
said.
So Miz, you know, they could run a story where Miz is like, well, my contract's up. I think I'm going to go to Raw and I'm going to take this belt with me, you know?
Yeah.
Just be some interesting stuff, but I agree.
So according to this, Backlash is September 11th in Richmond, and it's SmackDown. Then 2 weeks later, Clash of Champions. Sorry, they don't want to do the. It's too dusty. I don't know. is 2 weeks later, September 25th at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. At the moment, Hell in a Cell is the only pay-per-view in October, and it's in Boston. And then Survivor Series is in November, and it's in Toronto, actually. I can't remember the last pay-per-view in Toronto. And then December, now this was weird. It was bounced back and forth, but it's official now. The December, how about this? Here's interesting. December is no longer called TLC. December is now called Roadblock. So they're taking the title of that glorified out show they did right before WrestleMania, and it's back in Pittsburgh. It's at the Console Energy Center. Now, that pay-per-view was in Pittsburgh all along, and then, I don't know, it was like last week, I looked again, and it said to be determined. And then today, and now I'm looking at it right now, and it's back in Pittsburgh. So at the moment, October and December still only have one pay-per-view piece. And we're still going to call them pay-per-views. We know they're
not. And I hope they take away these gimmick match-specific pay-per-views like a Hell in a Cell TLC. Have it when you need to have the match, not a pay-per-view built around the gimmick.
You know what, Casey? You're singing my song, and JD knows that. I was livid in 2009 when Hell in a Cell became a pay-per-view. Because Hell in a Cell is my favorite gimmick match of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm a cage junkie. I'm old school like you, KZ. And I love Hell in a Cell. And when they made it a pay-per-view, I was thoroughly disgusted. Because you don't build a feud. You build the gimmick around the feud, not the feud around the gimmick.
Yep.
So it's like, here's two guys we've never seen wrestle before. Put them in a cell.
Right.
No. That's not how
this
works. Well,
there was the one year where I think it was Del Rio and Punk and Cena was in a three-way and in the cell, and it's like,
what? Yeah, well, that was the year that was the first year. I think it was what year was it where Triple H was the babyface CEO and he was like, oh, it was 2011 because it was when Miz and R-Truth went on that crusade and they jumped into the cage and everything. Yeah. What were you saying? What were you going to say, Chris?
Punk and Ryback was the one. I mean, that just did not need to have a Hell in a Cell for that. I mean,
No, you're exactly right.
Well, especially because that was at a point where Ryback, you know, it's funny we're talking about it now in 2016, but Ryback was hot back then. And, you know, they kind of put him in a program where neither guy could afford to lose. And then you put him in a cage where somebody's got to lose. And then just they booked themselves into the biggest corner they could find there, you know, where if you just have a standard match, you could at least do some kind of schmoz like a DQ or something. And instead they had to. Was that with the Brad Maddox thing? Is that when that happened?
Yeah, that was the Brad Maddox heel turn where
he got shot at
Ryback. Oof. By the way, is no longer with the company, which is probably a good thing.
He'll be on Impact next week.
Oh, yeah, he'll be, because everyone thinks everybody gets to wear the belt in TNA. So, hey!
Santos on there tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yes. So, time will tell, but I'm optimistic. I'm patient. You know, I'm open to anything. So I just love lots of wrestling on TV. So, and I love talking smack. I'm glad they don't do a Raw one because the show's long anyway. You don't really need one. But the pre-shows are trash. I think it's because Scott Stanford's like a glass of water and Jerry's just so fucking miserable that he just makes the show unwatchable.
And Lita adds nothing to it.
No, she adds nothing. And Booker's
monotone.
I'm getting tired of the shucky ducky quack quack. I mean, it's just now he's almost becoming the modern day Jerry. Now it's like Booker cliches now. Like shucky ducky quack quack is the 2016 version of puppies. So, I mean, it's only
puppies was popular for a while.
Well, yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. They got to keep tweaking stuff. But I do like that no Triple H, and that's me saying that. And Stephanie's kind of taken a back seat. Like, we haven't seen her the last 2 weeks, right? She wasn't on 2 weeks ago. Oh, yeah, she was. She had that last week she had that stupid duck.
Yeah, she's Australia this week, so it was totally about Sheamus.
Yeah, so it was just. And speaking of the way the show looks, it's a good point you mentioned, Chris. I love the camera angles, and I think Justin mentioned this to me too. The camera angles on SmackDown are kind of new. Like, they have that one that's like kind of like 50-50. When you're looking straight at ringside,
if you remember NXT, the TV show NXT, it's the angle they used on that in the early season of NXT.
Right.
They just brought it back. Yeah. So they've it's been a while since they've really used that. But yeah, that's where that came from.
Yeah. They also have a great camera. There was a moment, I think it was during the Orton Del Rio match, where Orton's pulling the table apart. The camera's kind of, it's low. and it's like diagonal from like the timekeeper area, so the back corner. It was a very unique angle. I liked it. Very unique angle. But I agree with you, KZ, that I did see. Did you notice this too, JD, that the Raw did look very, I don't want to say old, but it had that Vince Dunn kind of,
oh, yeah. It has not changed. And you could watch a Raw from 2005.
Oh, yeah.
The same as it would a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So you could definitely tell that they were.
Except the different logo. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Logo changes.
And
yeah.
and the whole Rusev Lana cake thing, that's got Vince and him written all over it.
Oh, well, yeah, totally. That's Vince. Vince has always been a detractor of the Lana Rusev relationship.
Yeah.
So that's his way of
sticking it to him.
Sticking it to him, yeah.
Except it was the Attitude Era, there'd be people licking it off for cleavage. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. This was, I mean, that was, if you watch Raw, I mean, a lot of Attitude Era stuff on Raw, you know, and like I said, it was true Vince Kevin Dunn fingerprints all over the show.
Yes. No, no doubt. Guys, great first segment. We didn't even get into what we were going to get into, and we'll get into some of the matches, but this has been great. I've enjoyed talking about this thoroughly. We'll take a break here on the main event. Chris Zellner with the Jordan Duncan, myself, Scott Criscolo. When we come back, I got an interesting question to talk to you guys about because I want to kind of, I don't want to prove the hypocrisy of the wrestling fan because we're all fans. But as JD knows, and Chris, you'll know as you get to know me, wrestling fans annoy me. And I am one. But a lot of wrestling fans piss me off. And I'll get into this in the next segment. So more main event with Mr. Zellner and Mr. Duncan after this. Really, JD? No, because?
I was about to say
how long have you been here?
Come on. Bald Bulls was charging me.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here. In addition to the archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow. Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show. Tag Team's back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze. And a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Griscolo here with Chris Zellner and Jordan Duncan. Great first segment, boys. We'll have much more to talk about. But first, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. We are continuing our excellent WWE Network adventure. And for once, it's not a TNT. Thank God. Today, we released our newest piece, Starrcade 84. Kind of like the forgotten Starrcade, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Right in between, you know, the awesome 83
is the first one,
which was tremendous, and that 85 might be one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. So, but nestled into this is 84, which has some gems in it. That Flair Dusty's not as good as the one the following year.
Yeah, there is a reason it's forgotten.
What would you say the best match would be?
Steamboat Tully.
Yeah, Steamboat Tully probably, right? I mean, really, there's no other. And this was like the last one where they, well... I mean, 85
Danny
had a little
bit. Danny
and
Black Bart was fun for a bloodbath.
But, yeah.
A lot of the show was just bad.
Yeah. I think a lot of it was there was still a lot of cross-promoting of territories. Like, didn't Jesse Bard defend the Florida heavyweight title in this match and in the show? And didn't Mike Graham? Was that 85? No, it was 84.
That was 84. And then you had Ole Anderson and Keith Larson as a
Yeah, Keith Larson. Don Kernodle was injured. Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird show.
People don't look at 84 Crockett was a pretty bad time that second half of the year. They had some decent things going on, but yeah, it was bad. I mean, Barry Windham, the thing was Barry Windham was supposed to beat Wahoo for the U.S. title on that show. And that's when he quit to go to WWF.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Then that's when Superstar Billy Graham got the match. I know we're two heels against each other for the U.S. title. It was just asinine. I don't know why Dusty did that, but of course Magnum got the job, you know, got the position that Barry Windham had. But
right,
yeah, I mean that Starrcade 4 was a mess, and Crockett started turning around after that. So
right, and 85 is like one of the best years ever for wrestling in general. I'm going to get to 1985 in a moment. So anyway, check out our newest network adventure. It's myself, JR, Chad, Brian Bayless in place of Chad. Greeny, myself, and Dan McGinn. So check it out. The newest installment of the excellent WWE Network adventure, Starrcade 84. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. Martin Boulevard with Keisha's Declaration of Independence. Keisha is his spirit animal. So check it out, Keisha's Declaration of Independence. Bayless with your SmackDown recap, speaking of Brian Bayless. Mm-hmm. Todd Weber's conversation, comics with Image Comics artist Tom Coker. Chris Jordan, celebrating.
No relation to me.
No relation to you, Chris Jordan Duncan. It's like David Bruno San Martino. celebrating the greatness of Ichiro's 3,000 hits. Of course, he just got his 3,000th hit last week. One of the few, I think only the second guy in history whose 3,000th hit was a triple. I don't remember who the other guy was, but.
The other 2,999 were singles, so.
Yes, exactly. Slap bunts. But anyway. JR's in my most recent Vintage Vault refresh, Monday Night Raw from June 7th, 1993. Mr. Bayless, who's all over this website, has your Raw rundown. JR and I, our most recent Place to Be podcast episode, we did No Mercy 2006 in the Vintage Vault earlier this week. Newest episode of Lucha Undead, get to know Joint Trask Force. So the boys are joined by Trask Bryant, big boss over at Wrestling with Words and former annoying preteen YouTuber. So find out more about that episode of Lucha Undead. And also earlier this week, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Zellner, but we had a new episode of Between the Sheets. And it was
Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday. It was
correct. Yeah.
On Monday. It was August 3rd through the 9th, 2003, with Tom Green from Everywhere You Look. So you discussed and I was talking to you beforehand, KZ, that I was very impressed. I was kind of jacked that you guys picked a year that's, you know, you don't – like, what the fuck happened in 2003? Wasn't WWE the only thing around? Well, no, not technically. You know,
it was horrible.
It was bad. But you had, like, you know, we had Ring of Honor. I mean, you know, TNA, obviously a lot of Japan, a lot of Mexico. So there was stuff going on. Just because there was no ECW or WCW or territories doesn't mean there was nothing going on. So definitely check out the most the newest episode of Between the Sheets, August 3rd through the 9th, 2003, with Tom Green from – Everywhere You Look. Didn't you have a there it is. Earlier this week, what was it? Was this last week? Or was Saturday, I think, this dropped? The most recent episode it was Exile on Bed Street. The story of Hacksaw Butch Reed, the Hacksaw I actually like. you were joined by John McAdam to discuss the career of Hacksaw Butch Reed. Kind of a fascinating one, actually.
Whoa. Is that the tape trading John McAdam from back in the day?
It sure is.
Oh, that man filled my library back many years ago. Wow, awesome.
Yes, so that's the newest episode.
And John, and if you like, and Scott, you'll like this, old school WWF,
oh,
then me and John will be doing shows in the future about those days.
Oh, I cannot wait. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Also, the newest episode of Brainbuster dropped early in the week. Mr. Sorrow, Season 2, Episode 1. No cheatings, Dork Duncan!
The revamped Brainbuster, he told me. So,
I listened to it today. It's pretty easy listen. It's only about 30 minutes.
Oh. And I'm supposed to be making my return on that show soon to redeem myself.
One thing I guess this season is no returning champions. So if you win,
no
you
returning
don't come back
champions.
The next, yeah, you don't come back the next set.
Oh, somebody must be pissed at that. That's because he didn't cheat. So, placementnation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Don't forget to check out all of our podcasts, of course, including Rank and File, and, of course, the two great podcasts that Chris hosts, and all the other great podcasts on the PWO PTBN feed, the PTBM Pop feed. By the way, if you hadn't had a chance to listen to it yet, this was a couple weeks ago, please listen to the podcast I did with J. Arsenio D'Amato and Jason Green on the anniversary, the birthday of MTV. We may be spawning some more music stuff in the future. So stay tuned for that. I might talk to you about that, Mr. Duncan.
Need to do a podcast on how they've already ruined MTV Classic.
Yeah, I've already heard that.
Really?
I've heard stuff too, yeah. It's pretty much 24 hours of Daria, apparently, or something close.
No, it's not that. It's that they want to show movies, which makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
The only Beavis and Butthead shows that they are airing are from 2011.
What's the point?
Which those shows are funny, but not like, it's not classics.
Yeah,
that's not what people like.
Not the ones from 1992 that were so awesome because they were ridiculously offensive. That's the ones we want.
I mean, they've done some stupid stuff, but they got great stuff too. It's just what you want.
What was the show that Beavis and Butthead came from? Was it Liquid Television?
Liquid Television.
It was really raw.
I will say this. I did read something today that I think they're going to air some of the old Buzzkill episodes. That show from the 90s.
You know what show I loved? And it was you know, way over most people's heads, and they made a shitty movie out of it, but I loved A in Flux. I was a big fan of that.
And they showed that on MTV Classic now, too.
Yeah, it was only like, I don't know, six episodes or something, but...
The show they need to show some more of is The State.
Oh yeah, The State was great, man.
Everybody's become stars just about.
Yeah, everybody from that show is someone.
Yeah,
now.
No, definitely. No, they've definitely not. That was disappointing, but we might do some more music stuff. I kind of got my juices flowing on that after doing that. So check that show out. It's on the PTBM Pop feed. Again, check out all of our podcasts. Also, check out the publications. JR and I continuing to do our ebooks. We have three out right now. For those new to the show, let me tell you what they are. We did a Vintage Vault refreshes of all of our pay-per-views. It's called the Federation Era. So it's all of our refreshes from WrestleMania 1 to Survivor Series 1992. Then we did a second ebook on all of the original run Saturday Night's main events. So from May of 85 to November of 92. And then the third ebook is the first half of the new generation era of pay-per-view. So it's all the vaults from the 1993 Royal Rumble to WrestleMania 12. So check those out. Please click on them. You'll go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And we're getting some great clicks. So it's consistently saying, I have a friend who works for Barnes & Noble, and she's been telling me that we're consistently in the top 10 in all three of them. So they're doing very well. So we thank you for your support. So there you go, PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. And I said this earlier, and we were just talking about Starrcade 84. Please listen to all of our podcasts, because they're all great. But the one that I got to pimp the hell out of. Now, I'm a very OCD, and I have to listen to stuff from the beginning. And I finally got the chance to start listening to another podcast. So I am through, I don't know what episode number it is. I think it's 18. I think I listened to your first 18 episodes of Between the Sheets. And probably, and they're all good. I definitely want to stress that. But the one that just, it was just so great, because for the first time, because there's a lot of stuff that you guys will talk about even in like 91 or 93, and I'll go, shit, I don't remember that. Which is good, because I like that. That's what makes the show great, because 25% of it, I'll have no idea what the heck you guys are talking about. Which is great, because I like kind of filling my black hole of my wrestling fandom. But the episode I listened to last week, and JD, I highly recommend you listening to this one.
Okay.
You guys, KZ, you, Bix, and Brian, his last
Brian Last.
Last, thank you. Brian Last from 605. You guys did 2 weeks, November 24th to December 7th, 1985. Maybe the best 4 hours of podcast I think I've ever listened to that I was never on. You guys filled, I mean, first of all, that's like right in my wheelhouse as a kid. I was 12. So you went through all the Starrcade stuff and, you know, all the stuff going on in the other territories and the WWF stuff in late 85 with like Moolah and Winnie Richter and the like Savage is coming, you know, was just coming into his own in late 85. And you guys had some AWA stuff. I mean, that episode was fantastic. You know another one I really liked, too? The one you guys did the week that Magnum TA got in the car accident. That was an excellent one as well.
Yeah, Bruce Mitchell, yeah.
Bruce Mitchell was on that one, yeah. That one was tremendous. So I highly recommend everything here on PlacementNation.com, because I do. But Between the Sheets is a tremendous show, I have to say. I haven't had a chance to dive into The Exiles yet, and I can't wait to. But Between the Sheets is a tremendous show. So keep checking it out. And that one particular one, those 2 weeks in 1985, were just out of this world. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, now that I've buttered him up, I think I buttered him up too much, JD. I think I got to start like I do with you and Ben Morris and start knocking him
back.
Yeah,
eventually he's going to start belittling you, Chris. So just wait for it.
Now I'm gonna, if coming. I find out that you, if I find out your favorite wrestler is Enzo, then you're done. So, nah, that's all right. All right, here's my question that I wanted to propose to you guys, because I want to, for those that are new to the show or haven't listened to it long, and Chris, you're fairly new to our guest role, but you're of course a regular now in my eyes, but JD knows me pretty well. I like calling out wrestling fans, and I am one. We all are. I get that. But sometimes wrestling fans I just want to punch them all in the face, because sometimes the hypocrisy is ridiculous. And I'll tell you why. In 2014, beginning of 2014, now this involves your boy Daniel Bryan, Jordan, but I'm not going to rip. I like Daniel a lot, but part of this has to do with him. Mm-hmm. In 2014, eyebrowless Batista came back. He had like no facial hair, even eyebrows, with his little skinny jeans and that stupid scarf he wears. And he was going to win the Rumble, go to WrestleMania, wrestle a snoozer main event with Orton, and we were all going to go... And then your boy, like, took over the world. Everything got changed, and we had a great night in New Orleans. The following year, going into WrestleMania 15, and I was not in Pittsburgh in 2014. I didn't go on that place-to-be trip. But I did go the following year to Philly for the Rumble in 2015, and the heat for Roman Reigns was through the roof. Now, because your boy... They wanted, since he was coming back, they weren't as upset until your boy came back. And then it was, all right, Roman, your placeholder's done. Time for Brian to get everything back. And that didn't happen. 2014, management was like, all right, fine, we'll put the little midget in the matches. And it turned out that they made a shitload of money off him. And he's probably, he's over more than Steve Austin is right now, probably. But 2015, they're like, no, Roman's winning. If you don't like it, don't watch. Like, that's almost how management took it. Roman Reigns, I felt bad. Batista, I didn't feel bad for. Roman Reigns, I kind of felt bad for. Not really his fault. And then we went, as you remember, JD, we had numerous main event episodes where we went through the whole political hit thing and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to WrestleMania, wrestles a pretty good match with Brock Lesnar, but we all knew that Brock couldn't really retain because, and if Roman won, then San Francisco would break off and sink. So they did the money, the, you know, the briefcase cash in, and Seth Rollins walked out champion, which we were all pretty fine with. As far as I know, and as far as I've read, the only thing people did not like about Roman Reigns was he wasn't ready for that slot. They didn't want him in the main events. I never heard anybody criticize his ability. He's a pretty good power wrestler. He's not great, but he doesn't suck. He's not Ryback. You know what I mean? He's a good worker. No one made fun of his promo skills are. But all people said was, we don't hate Roman Reigns. We just don't want him in that spot right now. Send him somewhere else. We'll cheer for him, and then maybe down the line we'll kind of like him enough to give him another shot at the top. That's how I determined the wrestling fan base with Roman Reigns. Well, he was booed through the end of 2015. He was booed when he, you know, won the belt. My boy got pops at the Rumble when he won the Rumble in the belt and kicked and, you know, and threw Reigns over the rope, you know, over the top rope, and my man won the belt. WrestleMania, after, you know, 15 hours at Jerry's house, he won his belt back, and of course everybody hated it. But then a weird thing happened. People kind of were kind of warming up to him a little bit. He was acting a little heelish. His promos were pretty much directed towards how he should be. Speak softly and carry a big stick. We would end up getting back-to-back pretty good main events with AJ at Payback and Extreme Rules, and they weren't AJ carrying him. I thought Roman did pretty good on his own. And then after Money in the Bank and all that happened and everything, now here we are, heading to SummerSlam. Roman is not in the main events right now. Roman is in the mid-card, and he's a mid-card babyface. And he's facing Rusev, a guy everybody hates. There are no Rusev cheers. I don't care what anybody says. You can like Rusev, but he still gets booed. He's a good natural heel. He's a lot like Miz. And he's going to SummerSlam to face Roman Reigns for the U.S. title. I don't know if Roman's going to win. Probably not. And that's fine. But now I want to know, is everybody happy now? Is it okay to like Roman Reigns? Because he's not in the main event at the moment anymore. Or was that all just bullshit and people just hated him and didn't have the guts to say it? Because all I heard was, Roman's fine, he's a good worker, but we have other people we like more right now. All right, well, you got what you wanted. Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, four guys everybody creams over. And Roman Reigns is now in the mid-card. So is it okay now to like Roman Reigns because he's not in the main event anymore? Chris, I'll throw it at you first.
A lot of the Roman Reigns backlash is because people thought that he was being shoved down their throats and they wanted to reject it. Now, it all started when they did the Shield breakup. If they hadn't have completely fucked it up,
right,
and made Roman Reigns, those written promos that Vince wrote himself for Roman Reigns, which was material that you would hear on a Bugs Bunny cartoon, was terrible, and it took the edge off of him. I mean, he was a badass, and now the edge is gone. He looks like a joke out there. Happy, smiley Roman Reigns. He's doing commercials with his daughter. The booking was terrible in a lot of ways, and that could be from different factors. That could be from, there were people that wanted him to fail, which is known, that there were people that did not think he deserved to be in that spot.
Yep.
People that were against him because he was Vince's handpicked guy and he wasn't the guy that other people wanted. So that played a role into it as well. And there was some sabotaging going on as well. I firmly believe that. And it just kept, they kept going back to that well. And then, you know, Rollins in the feud is pretty much over as a face. And the story that people don't talk about that was supposed to happen was before Rollins got hurt at Survivor Series, there was supposed to be a double turn. Rollins was supposed to turn face, Reigns was supposed to turn heel and go with Triple H and Stephanie. That's with the Authority.
Right.
And that Rollins getting hurt totally, you know, screwed that up. And then we got Reigns eventually, you know, became the champion, but it was just bad booking. That's hurt Reigns more than anything else. Bad booking and people feeling like they're being shoved something down their throat they don't want to have. So Reigns gets popped for his whatever it was, his Adderall, fat burner, whatever he was, he got. He comes back and they immediately, I mean, they try to turn it to an angle where Rollins is using to get heat on him. It doesn't work. He comes back, the fans are still on his ass. And they had to do what they had to do. They had to scale him back. He's got to be knocked down a peg so he can be rebuilt. He did the jobs for Balor. You know, he did the job, you know, in the title match. So that needed to happen. He needed to be out of the main program to rehabilitate himself.
Right.
So you put him with Rusev, smart play. Like you said, Rusev is not going to be cheered like other guys would because of how he is. He's great in his role. So you let Reigns work him, and they'll have some good matches because I really like both of them. Reigns is a great worker. I mean, that's one thing people don't talk about enough, how great he is.
I agree.
But you put him and Rusev together, they'll have some hard-hitting, entertaining matches. The angle on Monday, even though it was straight out of the Attitude Era, I thought Roman looked as comfortable in that angle as he's looked in a long time.
I agree with you 150%. And I was gonna let you chime in too, JD. But go ahead, Chris. Yeah,
I thought he was at home with everything there, and there is a little bit of movement, you know, with him with some of the fans. They're getting back with him slowly, so they just need to stay this course. Give him the U.S. title, which I don't see him losing to Rusev at SummerSlam. Give him the U.S. title.
Okay.
Let him tool around with that for a bit against whoever. They better not do is they better not like put him with Cesaro because I'll bury him dead. Fans will be all over Cesaro.
Yes.
But they just need to have him with the U.S. title, do what he's got to do there, maybe, you know, feud with Owens or what Jericho, whatever, and then work his way back up in the world title scene soon enough. I mean, the universal title scene soon enough. So we'll see.
Okay. I have to say, I agree with you 150%, Chris, that I thought for once they said to Roman Reigns, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Because I think he does have a personality. And I think it showed after WrestleMania when he didn't have to be the full-blown babyface to Triple H heel. And Triple H got cheered anyway. And not just by me. And once we got into AJ, he kind of showed a little, you know, a little swagger. And not Jack. But I agree with you, Chris. Monday night, he was like, dude, I just want a drink, man. I just want to toast you. It's all good. Like, he had finally showed that, like, Samoan kind of, hey, brother, kind of thing, you know? And that's what I think everybody would like to see. We don't need suffer and succotash. Just be like, you know, try to be a less obnoxious version of The Rock. Just kind of be like, hey, man, it's all good. Kind of be like RVD, just not totally stoned. Now, do you get that feeling, JD? Did you feel finally... I never considered you a Reigns hater. You just love Daniel so much.
Sure.
But I'll be honest with you. I didn't think Daniel was as over at the beginning of 15 as he was at the beginning of 14. And I don't want to say I was pissed that they tried to shoehorn him in. I'm not going to say that. But I was fine with him not getting like the automatic title shot when he came back at the beginning of 2015. I was fine with it. 2014, no doubt. No doubt. But that's because nobody gave a shit about Batista. That's why.
Sure.
Having said that, Monday night, did you finally look at Roman and go, you know what? He's not bad.
Well, I thought that for a while about the guy. I enjoy him. I mean, I'm definitely not one of the boo birds when it comes to him. I think a couple things that were talked about, I think, that stand out as to why there have been issues with him for so long. And I think we're all in agreement. It has nothing to do with his actual ability once the bell rings. If people say he's a bad wrestler, then show me a good one. You know, I mean,
I think
for what he does, and yeah, maybe he doesn't flip and fly and stuff like that, but that's, you know, there's a lot of ways to be a good wrestler. But a couple things that I think really have hurt him is something you guys both touched on a little bit is, you know, you let him just be himself. Whereas they kind of fell for this, he's got to be the top babyface, so he's got to be like Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but what if he's nothing like John Cena? You know, then he's playing a role that is nothing like him, and that's going to come off as manufactured, and that's going to come off as fake, and people are going to see right through it, and people are going to reject that, especially in 2016, where you can get on Twitter and you can get on social media and see right past the character that they're playing,
right,
and see who they really are more than ever. So I think you can still make him a babyface, but have him be a babyface as who he is. I think the other thing too that I think really hurts him is when you look at him now, and you look at him in 2015 when people really hated him, and you look at him, you know, the beginning of this year when people really hated him, they've done nothing really to change his presentation. You know,
yes,
except for the fact that he comes out from the entrance now. I think when he came back from the drug issue, I think that was a missed opportunity to really just revamp him from head to toe. Because, you know, you look at him and he looks the same. So the your brain thinks, well, he looks the same, so he is the same. Even if he is presented in a different way, even if he is not at the top of the card, even if he is kind of a different character, you know, it's hard to get past the look when he's still wearing the vest and he's still dressed like the Shield. I mean, he still dresses like his Shield days for the most part, with a couple tweaks here and there.
No, he does. No, that you're right about. Yeah.
You know, so I think there's some things that they could do that could fix him. But I think where they're putting him is probably best for him. You know, they're putting him against a guy that Rusev's not going to get the whole crowd behind him. You know, which speaks to his credibility as a heel. I don't think that the crowd's going to come unglued for Reigns, but I don't think that the entire crowd is going to crap on him, which is progress. You know, I think it was the week in Atlanta when he first came out to challenge Rusev. He actually got some cheers. You could hear them.
Yes.
You know, yep. you could actually hear the crowd cheering him a little bit here and there. And I think the big thing is this. You know, you go back to the Brock match where they had Rollins win the belt because, like you said, they were kind of in a tough spot because the crowd would not have taken Reigns winning that match.
No.
Then you look from there to, you know, the fall. He wasn't in the title picture. He's feuding with Wyatt and doing his own big show stuff.
Yep.
But then they just put him in the main event anyways, even though the fans hadn't come around on him.
Right.
I think you just got to wait for the fans to say, okay, we're done booing now. You know, and you know, don't force anything. So,
yep.
I'm fine with where he is. And, you know, give him the secondary belt and maybe have him be the guy to stop Strowman. Give him roles like that for a little while to just kind of, you know, hone his character. Because that's really what I think it is the character is something that people just don't click with. They don't connect with him.
Right. All right. Well, you've for the most part convinced me, so I will accept the fact that the body of the main fan base of wrestling fans will warm up to Roman Reigns now that he is not in the main event.
Well, you know what I think it is? If the people who yell the loudest warm up to him, then everybody else will listen.
Precisely. You know? Yeah, exactly. And everybody got what they wanted, and I my prediction is, and I'm probably gonna, you know, because we're not gonna have a show next week, so I might as well throw some predictions out, and I definitely want you guys to too. Finn Balor is not winning at SummerSlam.
No, yes, he is.
Oh, you think? Okay.
You really think so?
Oh yes, I think it's gonna be the last match.
I thought that for a while. I'm starting to lean against it, and I have a feeling Brock and Orton's gonna.
Oh, I tell you why it's. I mean, you might as well lock it up. They're doing Demon.
That's a good point.
Oh yeah, no, they will.
He has not lost as the Demon, and if they're doing the Demon deal, whole entrance, everything like that, oh yeah, he's winning. He's so winning.
Hmm. Maybe you can convince
me. You think that hurts Rollins?
No, don't hurt Rollins at all.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt Rollins at all. They'll probably do a rematch.
Yeah, they'll do a rematch at Backlash. All right, well, you know what? Since the card, I don't think is
going to Clash of the Champions.
I mean, Clash of Champions. Damn it!
And the way they could spin it is that they do a rematch, and Rollins will, you know, try to get it set up where Balor can't be the demon. It has to be Balor.
Mm, yeah.
The only reason why he won the match is because he was the demon.
Yeah. The demon is barred from ringside.
Yes, the demon is barred from ringside. All right. Since I don't think these two cards are going to change between now and next Sunday and next Saturday. I don't think there's gonna be any matches added.
That SummerSlam card's pretty full.
Yeah, and right now. We'll get to that one in a minute. NXT has six matches. So let's go around the horn. I want some predictions.
Okay.
All right, let's start with Saturday night, which I'll be at. I'll be in the Saturday I'll be in the seats. Sunday I'll be in the suite, but I want to be in the seats on Saturday at NXT. I want to feel the energy. All right. There's six matches on the card. Ember Moon. Who the fuck is Ember Moon? I haven't watched NXT.
Athena.
Hmm, okay.
She works as a thing on the indies.
Oh, okay. It says to be determined. What is that?
Billy Kay, I think.
Okay.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm kind of curious if they bring Ember Moon as a heel.
Hmm.
I don't know. Then her status hasn't been determined yet as far as if she may face a heel.
Okay.
It's her debut match, right?
She'll win. That's an easy prediction.
I'm pretty sure it's a debut match.
Okay.
Because they're promoting the hell. I mean, they're doing these vignettes on NXT every week.
Okay. No Way Jose takes on Austin Aries. Another one of my. There's my third guy. When I mentioned earlier, I said there's three guys that I loved in NXT, in TNA. There was actually four: Storm, Aries, Rude, and Magnus. All right. So I got three out of four, right? I think Austin Aries wins because I think we're going to be putting him in that main event talk with Joe and Nakamura. So I like Aries. What about you, Jordan?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Chris?
Ooh, it's tough. I'm going to go say Jose.
Oh, okay.
Really? Okay. I think it's the hair. kind of the NXT version of Carlito. But actually, it's much poofier than Carlito's. We have a tag team championship match. I think this match is going to be off the fucking wall. I cannot wait for this one. The Revival will defend the titles against Gargano and Ciampa and Chumpy. This match is going to be off the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be match of the year if all four guys show up. Because Revival and Alpha in Dallas was ridiculous. This could match it. If not, maybe surpass it, depending on how Gargano and Ciampa step up. And I think they will. Chris, who do you like here?
Ooh. I'm going to say Revival, only because I think they may shoot an angle where Ciampa turns on Gargano. Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling. I think, obviously, we kind of saw that during the tournament.
Well, they did a deal in NXT tonight where it's kind of... Yeah,
some tension building.
Yeah. Something may happen. They had a little meeting with Regal where you kind of question the sincerity of some of the stuff that was being said.
I also think Gargano could be a centerpiece of that cruiserweight division too.
Well, I think he needs to be alone as a babyface for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think the Revival keep it as well. Mm-hmm. JD, you too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Andre Almas will take on my man Bobby Roode, and because he's got the coolest theme song in the history of the universe.
Glorious.
My man, because he is glorious. Bobby Roode, and they haven't made a t-shirt yet. Cannot wait till that t-shirt comes out. I think my man Bobby Roode wins. Jordan?
Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest pick for me on the whole card.
Chris?
Well, Ember Moon debut, but...
Roode's going to win, and I think he's going to be such a babyface in that show. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're going to have to turn him because, I mean, that music and everything, they're going to have to go with the fans on it before said and done.
Yeah. I have a feeling, too.
That crowd's going to sing along with that whole theme song. Watch.
Yeah. Oh, I am. Hell yeah. If they have a t-shirt on Saturday night, I'm buying it. I hope they
Oh, you're going to NXT as well?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. No, NXT. Cool, yep. I'm pumped. It's my first live NXT show. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm hoping they have a shirt made by next Saturday night. We have a rematch from Dallas for the Women's Championship. My girl Asuka will defend the title against Bayley. I think we're comfortable in saying Asuka wins because Bayley's gone. Or is she not gone? Are they jammed up and she's better off still here? That question still lingers. Is Bayley better off sticking around, or do you think she is, like, they need her on SmackDown in the worst way? What do you think, Chris?
Asuka's winning. Bayley's definitely on the main roster, but is it better for Bayley to be in NXT? Probably so. But I think, I mean, this is time. She's been there way too long.
Yeah.
She would be a good shot in the arm on SmackDown.
Yeah.
If she goes there, because, I mean, unless they do a Sasha heel turn and bring her in on Raw to feud them, then maybe, but SmackDown's where she needs to be. So Bayley will lose, and Asuka retains her title and moves on to other things.
Yes, I love Asuka. She's very good, and she's hachi-machi, but she's an exceptional wrestler. I was very impressed when she beat Bayley in Dallas. Willie thinks I did it on purpose because I hate Bayley, but I don't hate Bayley. Not as much as I used to. And now our main event. Samoa Joe will defend the NXT Championship against Mr. Nakamura. Everyone thinks this is a slam dunk that Nakamura wins. Is it, JD?
No, I don't think so. I think he needs to be up on the main roster as well. I think every day that he's in NXT is burning some money, to be honest.
Well, he's not a spring chicken. Neither of these guys
are. No, he's up there. I think he, you know, I understand why they brought him in to NXT to start with, but, you know, main roster is where the money is.
Yep. So does he win?
I feel like Joe wins because, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying what I want to happen. I want Nakamura to get the bump and move up, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I'll say Joe wins because Nakamura leaves.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
Nakamura wins because Joe probably needs to go ahead and go to the main roster too eventually.
Yeah, they kind of both do, don't they?
Yeah, both do. But Nakamura needs to be the champion. Again, you know, who knows who what will other go down the line for a challenger there. But I think Nakamura's the way to go for this match. I mean, I just don't see them in Brooklyn having Joe win the main event. I just don't see it.
Okay.
That's a good
point. If it was a different venue, maybe, but not the big building. No, they're going to want to send the crowd out happy. So Nakamura.
Problem.
Yeah,
now
I kind of forget that the Brooklyn one's in that big old building. I still think of NXT shows as, you know.
Yeah, no, but that place was nuclear last year, and it's going to be nuclear this year. All right, so there's your picks for NXT for NXT Takeover Brooklyn. So now let us go to the next night and talk about the big show. No, not the actual big show.
I'm hanging up if we got to talk about him.
So Sunday night, next Sunday night. Let's start with the only thing I don't think they've scheduled is an actual
like a kickoff
dark match. Yeah, I don't think there's a kickoff show yet, but who cares if there is or not?
They should give Braun one. Just have Braun kill somebody.
Again. Yeah, really. Honestly, they should. 9 matches on the card. I can't see there being more than that. But there's a lot of weird matches here. There could be a lot of retaining or a lot of upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the first match. And Chris, I know you kind of already made your pick. Rusev will defend the United States Championship against Roman Reigns. You said pretty much you think Reigns is going to win.
Yes.
Okay. I'm leaning more towards agreeing with you because I think they want to settle him into a nice upper mid-card title role. I agree with you on that now after what we talked earlier. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I think Reigns wins. I think the only way Rusev comes out with the title is if they do some kind of schmoz, like a DQ or a count out, Rusev leaves or something. But I don't see them doing that.
Okay. So we both think Roman, all three of us, I'm going to go with you guys because I think that's what they want to do. They want to settle him into an upper mid-card role and let him earn kind of his stripes again with the big belt, with one of the titles. So
that's a match I've wanted to see for a while, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very good. I think it's going to be very good. All right, a match I'm looking most forward to because I kind of in the role of King Kong Bundy squashing Little Beaver, but we have Enzo More, that little rat prick, and Big Cass, who I love. I think you should turn. You already know my idea. I don't think I've ever told Chris my idea. He'll love this. Enzo and Big Cass take on Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Some people think there's a waste of Kevin Owens, but if he's not going for a title, do put him in something like this. I have a feeling Enzo and Big Cass are going to win, and I think Jericho eats the pin. What do you think, Chris?
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's obvious to me.
What's with the fucking mustache? Oh God, that's terrible.
It's Jericho.
And I can see Owens powerbombing Jericho after the match too.
Yeah. Anyway, this is my idea, Chris, and I think you'll appreciate this greatly. I think eventually Big Cass should turn on Enzo, squash him like a bug, and him and Baron Corbin should be the new Skyscrapers. Come on. You're liking that. Come on.
It'd be interesting.
Come on. It'd be perfect.
It'd be interesting if they're on separate shows.
Well, that's true, too. Well, I think eventually, though, maybe they'll
move. Okay, but the split's coming. I mean.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt.
And it's interesting. I mean, that Cass isn't on the Vince-heavy show, but yeah, Cass, they definitely. I mean, if you watched and listened to JBL on commentary, telegraphing, you know, how much, you know, Cass is pretty much loved, then, yeah, it's coming sooner and later. And Enzo, who knows where he'll be, but he'll have his position. But, yeah, I mean, it's coming sooner or later.
All right, next one, another title on the line, the WWE Tag Team Championships, we mentioned. The New Day, which will just be Kofi and Xavier because Big E's balls are in a jar, apparently. we'll be defending the titles against Mr. Gallows and Machine Gun. I think they win. I think they win the belts. I think it's time. I think New Day's reign should come to an end. The reign started on this night in this building. It will end on this night in this building. What do you think, JD?
I mean, I think with the Big E injury, that's the best way to do it, too, because you set up a rematch because Big E's, you know, obviously they're heavy. That kind of is their power, you know, and they've neutralized it. And so it's a good story. You know, they took out the power and they got the little guys. Xavier's the one that always eats the pins anyways. So he's probably going to eat this one. So I think they'll win it, and I think that sets up an easy rematch at their first pay-per-view, which whether it's Backlash or Clash of the Champions, we can't remember.
Yeah, which one? It would be Clash. It would be Clash of Champions. No, the. Only Dusty was allowed to use the. All right,
we call it Backlash of Champions?
Backlash of Champions. All right, we have our rematch from Battleground. John Cena takes on AJ Styles. They're technically 1-1 because Cena got the pin on AJ in the six-man. This is the rubber match. I think AJ wins. What do you think, Chris?
I agree.
I think so, too.
Cena is part-time now. He's got other things going on. So AJ must win.
Yeah, because I think AJ is going to beat Dean. So down the line.
Yeah.
JD?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Same reasons.
Yeah, Cena's turning into The Undertaker at this point. Okay, next up, the Intercontinental title on the line, your champion, that rat prick, The Miz, who's just, he's such a great scumbag. He really is with that. and his wife's just got that, you know, Montreal strip club look about her now. So great. They take on Apollo Creed, the Count of Monte Fisto. No, not really. Although I think if they should have capitalized on that and had Carl Weathers second Apollo Crews to the ring, which would be fucking great. the Count of Monte Fisto. Isn't that a chatterbaiting nickname, JD? Anyway, you know, I had to go there with that. Chris, do we see a title switch here? Or is this too soon for Apollo Crews?
No, I don't see a title switch here. Mainly because I think we're going to have so many title switches on this show, then somebody needs to retain. So I think the Miz retains.
Okay. JD?
Yeah, I think this is your cop out ending too. I don't see Miz just straight up pinning Apollo.
No, but there's going to be some shenanigans. Yeah.
Yeah. And this could even be moved to the kickoff match too, to be honest.
It could if they have
a free show match. I still call it.
No, I think it's a main show match. I mean, there's some guys, there's some names that don't have matches. Sami Zayn sticks out. He doesn't have a match on the main show, so they'll do some on kickoff with one or two guys.
Yeah. Here's a match where I think we have a couple matches coming up where there will be some title retentions. Dana Brooks barred from ringside. Sasha Banks will defend the women's title against Charlotte. I think it's pretty clear. Sasha back in Brooklyn after the bitch and pop she got last year, even losing to Bayley. That place is going to be through the roof when her music starts. She retains the title, JD.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris?
She was supposed to win it in Charlotte, I mean, in Brooklyn, so she'll retain in Brooklyn.
Yep, easily. All right, and now our triple main event. We'll start with the one non-title. Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton. I went through this whole thing. We were talking about it during the break, Chris, when you had stepped aside for a minute. Why does Brock Lesnar have to win? Why? Why is he still special? He's already had his title reign. He's already lost a match or two. He lost to Triple H a couple years ago. Why does Randy Orton have to lay down for him?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't get it anymore.
Because they pay Brock Lesnar a lot of money. And Brock is still a bigger name. You know, he's not a draw, not for WWE, but he's still a bigger name in the real world than Randy Orton is. And Randy Orton's not the guy that needs to beat Brock Lesnar. The guy that needs to beat Brock Lesnar needs to be somebody who needs to had that as their big career-defining win.
That's what Randy Orton's been around.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. They're going to be very, very particular, I think. But that's another discussion for another day.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be safe for somebody that needs that win. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do Orton or Lesnar here.
Okay.
Do you think that guy's on the roster right now?
Oh,
I do. I'll tell you the guy right now. Well, I'll tell you after we do our picks. Okay. All right, so we all think Brock's gonna win. I agree, but I think it's gonna be like him and Taker at 30.
I'm interested in this match.
I think it's I am too, but I
don't think Undertaker's wrestling no more.
No, I think he's done. But I think this match is gonna be booked like him and Taker at 30.
Oh yeah.
I think it's gonna take like 3 F5s to pin Orton.
Sure,
that's what I think. They're not gonna make Orton look like a chump.
No, they're not gonna make him look like a chump. But he's not going to. I say from way everything's looking position wise, he's going to be positioned with Bray Wyatt on SmackDown, so he's not even going to be in the top feud. So if he's not going to be in the top feud SmackDown, he definitely would win this fucking match.
Right. That's for sure.
Right.
I'll tell you the finish I see with this match is Orton hits the RKO, doesn't finish Brock, and he sets up the punt, and he goes running for it, gets caught in an F5. Boom.
That's a good.
That's perfect. He could he could like do it himself. Like he'll make a mistake. Kind of like Shawn against Taker at 25, where he had to go for that one more swanton or whatever and got caught in midair. Yeah, I could see something like that. Yep. All right. For the WWE World Championship, a.k.a. the Blue Belt, Dean Ambrose defends against Dolph Ziggler. I think it's evident that this was just made so we can have more juice for the other match. So Dolph was kind of an easy choice because people care, but kind of not much. I think Dean retains because I think this belt is going to be set for AJ at some point. So I think Dean retains. What do you think, JD?
Yeah, I think Dean wins. I think that's obvious. I think the interesting thing is what they do with Dolph, because I think there's an opportunity to maybe turn him heel and really freshen him up, because they're pretty light on heels over on SmackDown. There's AJ and then probably Bray after that. And then who's your third heel?
We have no Bray on this card either.
Yeah.
So you're right, Chris. There's still some guys left to do, but... who do you like in this one? Dean retains?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Dolph, the sooner he's off my TV, the better.
I agree.
And finally, our main event for the WWE Universal Championship, or as Daniel Bryan says, the Milky Way Interspecies title or whatever it was. I like that he makes fun of the belt. Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Demon Balor comes out. I originally thought Rollins would retain because I thought Brock and Orton would be last. But now that I think you've both convinced me. I think Balor wins. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I didn't convince you because I was on your side. I think Chris convinced us both.
Yeah,
Balor is Triple H's guy. I mean, this is
full
on, you know, the ascension of Balor here.
Yeah,
and they're gonna get behind them, and we're gonna see what happens. So, I mean, it makes total sense. He's a new guy. You put him over on this show. They pushed it your whole new era deal. It's a perfect storm.
Yep. I agree. I agree now. You convinced me. Because I, for some reason, was trying to convince myself that Orton could beat Brock, but you've pretty much, I think you've gotten it right. I don't think he is. So I think Balor ends the show. You said no Sammy. We have no Bray Wyatt. So there might be a match or two left, but they'd have to obviously... No Cesaro. Mm. But that's, I think, part of the storyline.
Cesaro and Sheamus, I can see being another match, either on the main show or pre-show, some type of final match between them two.
Yeah.
Who's the guy you think Scott could beat Brock? Is Cesaro the one you thought?
No.
No?
No. I think you want the ultimate. Let's be honest. Before he got hurt, in terms of ultimate crowd love, the guy that was the best option to like really beat Brock was Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go by that same vein, and there's one guy on this roster that is universally loved.
Kalisto.
Perfect. Kalisto! Yes, that's exactly what it is. Could you see Brock? Kind of like when
Ray beat Brock Kevin Nash.
When Brock was feuding with Eddie before No Way Out 04, and he was doing the whole mariachi thing. Could you imagine? And Brock puts his mask on. Guy's the ultimate underdog.
Yep, I know you're going.
And he is literally like number two behind Daniel is like the most loved guy.
And he's not on the show right now,
right?
And
he's not on the show right now. It is no doubt Sami Zayn.
No. I can get behind that.
They're not the guy that I think if they do anything, it might be Big Cass.
Wow.
That would be cool because I love
Cass. It's going to be a big guy. A small guy's not going to be Brock Lesnar. I just don't see him doing that.
Yeah,
not a small guy.
Yeah, the only reason I'll tell you this, I philosophically disagree with you, Chris, but I think you're thinking it more of a business perspective that Vince.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Vince McMahon
is going to draw the Vince is going to draw the line and go.
I don't think it's a fan like this. I think it's business.
Yeah, and Vince is going to draw the line and tell Triple H no more vanilla midgets. So
well, no, I'm just saying in general, I don't think that they're going to. I mean. Sammy, I don't think he's worthy of beating Brock, actually. I really don't.
Well, not right now. I mean, I think
right
you guys
now.
Tell
no,
that
no, no,
story.
Not now. Yeah. I would say in a couple of years, but I think he could be.
There are a lot of guys. There, he would be like between 10 and 20 of guys on a list, I think, that even should be considered for beating Brock.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of other guys that, I mean, Reigns is probably going to be the one to do it.
Yep.
They haven't done the clean one yet. And because, you know, when they did WrestleMania, Rollins did his deal.
Right.
So they haven't had that clean one-on-one finish yet.
Oh, there is unfinished business there. You're right.
So he's probably going to be the one. Cass wouldn't be shocked if they went to a new guy to do that. Or maybe even Nakamura.
Yeah, I was thinking that too because they've had a match, you know.
They
don't shy away from talking about New Japan anymore. So,
I mean, there is a history there between them, and I'm sure Brock would probably do business with Nakamura. Mm-hmm. So,
that would be pretty fascinating. Okay.
So, I mean, I could see any one of those three. Other than that, I think there's a big drop off from those three.
I'll throw one real outside the box choice at you. Is what about Big E? I think that could be interesting.
They got to push him. I got pushed as a threat.
Yep,
he's a comedy.
Break him
guy.
Out as a single. Yeah,
yeah. I think Brock's gonna lose a Mania next year. So I mean, they just
gotta find their guy. Yeah, they only got about 6 months to go.
And if it's Enzo, I quit.
It ain't Enzo.
I don't think it'll be Enzo.
Good. Maybe he'll kill Enzo. Who knows? All right.
It's a big cast. Maybe a match at WrestleMania. Who knows?
Yeah. Although Brock could have like a faction of skyscrapers. Even better. Dusty, I wish you were still here on Earth, brother. I wish you were still here on
Brock
Earth.
I can see Brock and Baron Corbin as a match if one on Bayface down the line. I mean, I don't know. I just don't see them doing that with Bront. He's not going to lose to a small guy.
You don't see them booking a David Goliath kind of thing?
Unless they book Conor McGregor against him.
he's a toothpick. He'll clean his teeth with him.
Which would be hilarious.
Yeah. You know,
for many reasons.
Yes.
But, I just don't see. I don't. That's not how Vince thinks.
Okay. You're definitely right.
Triple H would be in line with that, too.
Yeah, you're probably, from a business perspective, yeah, you're right. Philosophically, yeah. I would
I just think story, from the best story.
For a storyline perspective, I think a small guy would be a great story. But realistically, Chris, you're right. I mean, we are kind of have our head in the clouds in that thing, in that aspect. But never know. Guys, this was a lot of fun. This was a great show. That'll wrap it up for this edition of Main Event. No show in 2 weeks. We're going to take a little hiatus only because in 2 weeks I will be on a plane to Chicago for a little vacation. Our next episode will be recording on September 7th. So actually the next episode of Main Event, we will be previewing Backlash, whatever color it is. So I'm not sure who we'll have on, obviously, but that'll be the next episode of Main Event. So, Mr. Zellner, always a pleasure, sir. Happy birthday to you. I know it's a little day late, but I said happy birthday to you yesterday anyway. So,
thank you.
Check him out, everyone. Between the Sheets and Exile on Bad Street, both fantastic shows.
And GD? Between the Sheets, next week we'll be discussing 1989.
Oh, yeah. I got to start getting into your – I got to start doing what you do at the end of Between the Sheets, do the plugs. I keep forgetting. Do us your plugs, man. I gotta keep forgetting that. And you know what's funny about your guys' show? You do the plugs like with 30 minutes left in the show. It's like usually a half hour, 20 minutes of plugs. I think that's funny. But you have guests that are loaded, so that's awesome.
And we got Jim Valley from The Torch will be
nice.
Our guest this week coming up. So yeah.
Well, I mean, 1989 is probably one of the best years in the history of wrestling. I mean, it's one of the few years where symmetrically, except for AWA, everything in 1989 was pretty much awesome. So that's a great year to go back to. I think you've done 1989 a couple times. But so many different things happen in a calendar year that it's always different news. So check that out, Exile on Bad Street and Between the Sheets. JD,
yes.
always good, brother. Next rank and file, top 10 vanilla midgets.
Oh. We actually recorded. It hasn't dropped yet, but I got Chad on there for the first time. We got Ben Moore, so we got Aaron George, and we did our top SummerSlam performers. Mr. SummerSlam.
Okay. Ultimate Warrior. That's my favorite. I think we had a conversation about this a while back. I think
we talked about him at length.
Yeah, I think Justin and I did a Mr. WrestleMania, Mr. SummerSlam a while back. I think he said Brett, and I think I said Ultimate Warrior. But anyway,
talked about him too.
Yes. So check it out, rank and file, and of course JD's all over the place. He's on a myriad of shows.
Yes.
So for Chris Zellner and Jordan Duncan, I am Scott Criscolo. You have been in the main event. Enjoy the burrow. Two huge shows, two big main events, two possible big title changes. I will talk to you in a month. Enjoy SummerSlam. She's just 16 years old. Leave her alone, they said. Separated by fools who don't know what love is yet. But I want you to know, if I could fly, I'd pick you. Nobody has a home.
Nation.